Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the show with the three amigos, Hotman, Crowder, and Solana on FM radio. Them boys be sliding, so we riding and we ready to go. 100,000 watts, full throttle, baby, ready to blow. We passing Boca up to Jupiter, we got your attention. You can tune in anywhere, but listen at your discretion. To the legend, Mr. Hotman, can't stop him, each other deuce. My brother got his own hot burger at Tucker Deuce. Now my Rushmore of these sports, spitting the truth. It's Channing Crowder, greatest Dolphin, to rock the 52. Solana one, best of Miami, the voice of FIU. We repping to Miami, the Heat and the Panthers too. We repping for the Marlins, the Dolphins, that's how we do. We repping for the crew, so it's always about the you. Hey Jimmy, please get a bell on the phone and tell him that it's on. I finally got his name on the song. Can't do him wrong, cause it sounds so sweet. You speak the facts while I keep the crowd on their feet. Football season be the reason that I be bringing this heat. Georgia music representing 104.3. Hey, show out the Solana. Welcome to the show out the Solana.
I was getting ready for the show. Got some energy. It's Miami Heat opening night. I mean, let's go.
Hey.
Let's go.
Let's go, Heat. Let's go, Heat.
Did anyone anybody watch the opening of NBA last night?
I did. OKC Houston was a great game, as Jimmy told us all.
Yeah, Jimmy, be more judicious in your texts on the text thread. During that game, I mean, we're going into second overtime, and Jimmy fires off a text to all of us, this OKC is a great game. Yeah, we know. We're all watching.
Appreciate you, Jimmy. I was kind of confused on the double overtime game.
It's like getting texts from Magic Johnson's Twitter account.
Sandwiches are good.
The Miami Heat opened the season tonight. I'm very glad for the late game that I didn't bet the Jimmy Butler under, because he went over in the first half, I think. Or it was 17 and a half. Did he end the first half with 17, I think?
17 at the end of the first half, yeah. And he came out in the third quarter and was
aggressive. Dude had 31 points last night. Yeah. Like, yeah. He might be their alpha male on that team. Although, did you see the dagger three from Steph?
Yeah, there's a little light-skinned fella there that's not giving up that chrome very easy.
Holy mackerel. And then I had a parlay that hit thanks to that OKC victory. I had Panthers to win. I did a three-leg, if you remember at the end of the show, I mentioned it on the air, three-leg moneyline parlay. So I had the Panthers to win, and they had it all game. You know, they had a 2-0 lead, and then it was 2-2. And then they had a 3-2 lead, and then it was 3-2. They end up winning the game, so I hit that. Then I've got Kennesaw State beating your FIU Panthers No problem there. I told you I was going to bet $1 zillion on Kennesaw State. I put them in this parlay. I should have bet them straight up because everyone knew. There's no way FIU is covering two games in a row, let alone winning two games in a row. And then the only other leg in the parlay I needed, I had OKC money line. I think the line on the game was 6.5. I think it was OKC minus 6.5. But I had money line, so I just needed OKC to win, and they did. It was rough. SGA was missing some free throws at the end, was killing me, but they got the dub, so I hit a nice little three-leg parlay there. I'll consider that a good start to the NBA season of gambling. And I'll gamble tonight, too.
And we saw Michael Jordan talk about boring stories.
I have to tell you, I was texting with a friend of mine from Chicago. We were texting each other clips of MJ. I think it was Bill Simmons that I saw today on Twitter tweeted, "It doesn't matter what MJ says. I'll watch." And that's how I feel about him. Like, I don't care what he talks about. There's two guys for me from the 80s and 90s who still have this star power where wherever they are, whatever they're doing, whatever they're saying, whatever they're appearing on, I will make a point to watch. I think if you remember, Eddie Murphy was on Jimmy Kimmel like a year ago, and I told you, I don't make it an appointment to watch late-night television for anything. But Eddie Murphy, to me, because he so rarely does stuff like that, I want to see everything he does.
Yeah.
MJ's the same way. And speaking of Eddie Murphy, Netflix announced today an Eddie Murphy documentary where you get to go inside his house, which is a bleeping mansion, and you get this whole in-depth look at Eddie Murphy and his life nowadays, where he's like super open, and I'm like I can't wait to see that on Netflix.
Oh yeah, I saw that today too, and I'm excited. I'm a big Eddie Murphy fan.
For me, Eddie Murphy and MJ are not overexposed. They don't do a ton of media. No. They don't do a ton of talk shows. They don't do the reality show. Like, everybody's got podcasts. Everyone is out there as much as they want to be out there, and most people want to be out there as much as they possibly can. Michael Jordan, Eddie Murphy are very judicious, Jimmy. Very judicious. They pick and choose their spots, and I am in whenever they do something.
Yeah. Well, I know you could have put it on mute and watched Michael just, you know, mime something. I was actually listening to the stories, and it was an 8-minute story about him shooting a free throw in front of some rich
that
kids.
That was so cool, man. You didn't like that story? That story was so cool.
No, it wasn't
cool.
It was. You were amazed that he told it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. It was so cool. Here's a guy. He doesn't need to prove anything to anyone, yet he still has so much immense personal pride that he doesn't even want to miss a free throw when no one's watching it. I mean, that tells you why. That tells you why Michael Jordan was so great.
Oh goodness! You're reaching here.
Crazy, are you joking?
Man. Crazy.
Him shooting a free throw in front of some rich kids shows you why he's the best player in NBA history.
Him being fearful that he was going to miss a free throw shows you why he was the greatest basketball player of all time. Because I would submit to you, he would have felt that way because he said, "I don't pick up a basketball anymore." Why do you think he doesn't pick up a basketball anymore?
He's old.
He doesn't want to miss shots, even if he's by himself. He doesn't want to miss shots. Well, why do you think?
Oh, my goodness. Because he's old and rich. What's the point of playing basketball when you're old and
rich? But he just told you yesterday, last night, how much he loves the game of basketball. Why he wants to be involved in the NBC broadcast. He's not doing it for money. You know he's not doing it for money.
Well, extra $40 million ain't hurting nobody.
He's not getting $40 million for those stories.
LeBron would have dunked that ball. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but LeBron is younger. Get to LeBron's age.
He would have dunked it.
And no, he wouldn't have dunked it. And LeBron probably wouldn't have even told the story. That's why Michael Jordan is so great. It's just everything he does is through the eyes of a winner, a champion. He is a winner and a champion at everything he does.
Bringing Michael back with the new, you know, the remade NBC, NBA on NBC. It makes perfect sense because he ran that you know, that
it's
time.
It's why you watched. It's why you watched.
Yeah, the tie-in is great. And then the interview started, and my man just kept throwing these little baby alley-oops. I thought he was going to have some good stuff. I hope it gets better as the season goes
on. Well, it was Mike. I mean, that wasn't his. He's going to be doing interviews. That was Mike Tirico interviewing him.
Well, is that. Are we sure he's going to be doing interviews?
Yeah, he's going to be telling stories, doing interviews. I think he'll probably have some features that are produced, and he's the narrator, the storyteller. But I don't think – it's certainly not going to be Mike Tirico interviewing him every week.
I hope not, because what it seemed like to me was one really long interview, Mike Tirico interviewing Michael Jordan, and they're going to use the hell out of that interview. They chop it up into 5-6 intervals, and they'll play it sporadically throughout the season.
That was the intro to why is Michael Jordan participating in the NBA on NBC broadcast? Because, again, he doesn't do stuff like that. He just doesn't. Remember, Kobe would have been part of the panel. Like, Kobe would have been out there.
Yeah.
You saw last night. It was Carmelo, Tracy McGrady, and...
Vince Carter.
It was a rough start, too. I don't know if you watched the beginning of...
it was a rough end.
NBA on NBC. But and Carmelo's out there. I saw someone tweet out, like, Carmelo thought he was doing a podcast. He had a little zip-up jacket on, and T-Mac and Vince Carter, they're dressed to the nines. Maria Taylor looks great, and Melo's out there. He's got, like, a windbreaker on. Michael, for me, could do no wrong. Like, I watched that just like, wow. That's why Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. That's the gravitas that he has.
I hope he's telling stories with current players, but he needs to shelf that story. That story was garbage.
That's maybe top three story he's ever told. I'm not even lying.
He set that entire thing up, Crowder, so that Tirico could go, did you make it? And he could go, what do you think?
Badass. It was so badass. Oh, if you had an ounce of the personal pride Michael Jordan had, do you know how far you could go? But you can't even comprehend that kind of pride.
I knew Hawk would eat that up, man.
Do you think Michael Jordan would yell, light is on, when he doesn't even know what that means? And like, that's the difference between you. And you're the everyday person. I'm just using you as an example. But you're the population. Michael Jordan, me, Eddie Murphy. We're guys who pick and what? What are you laughing at?
I keep going. I'm sorry.
Guys who pick and choose our spots, take pride in what we do, and make sure that if we're putting something out there, it's worthy of our name, our look, our brand.
Champion storyteller, huh?
He is a champion, and he proved it last night.
You're swinging for the end of the season.
No, he was great. He was great. I'm telling you, he was great. That was that. I thought that interview was better than the OKC game, and that went to double overtime.
But he's going to step in the interviewer?
I believe so. That's the way that I understood it to be, that he's going to – well, he's going to tell stories. So I don't know if that's via interview or if it's via prepackaged piece that they play.
Oh, okay. Well, go deeper into his arsenal.
The Open was unbelievably good.
It was great.
With all the guys not knowing
it was great.
What NBA and NBC means, and then they cut to Michael – and he's talking about Patrick and Magic. The Open, Charles Barkley, the Open was so well produced. It gave me chills. I swear I had chills.
It was great.
Watching
it was. It. Yeah, because it started with the Bulls song, and then it was great. I really enjoyed the NBA last night. Brad Marchand, I don't know if you watched his return to Boston. ESPN, they say, and this is so rare. I mean, this is like, when the local broadcast, one thing. You're talking a national broadcast. ESPN, during the first timeout in the first period, they said, we're going to stay here at the TD Garden and watch the video tribute that they're putting out for Brad Marchand, and we'll watch the crowd react and Brad Marchand react. So ESPN, who pays a lot of money, they don't give up, commercials willy-nilly, stayed there. They go to commercial timeout, ostensibly commercial timeout, but just a game break. and the Bruins play this video tribute to Brad Marchand. He's crying on the bench. He is crying. He is actively wiping away tears. The crowd is going nuts. His teammates from Boston and Florida are going nuts. And it was like, that was a chill-inducing moment. It was so cool. I just, last night, sports delivered. Mm-hmm. Like, it delivered. Tonight, Heat and Magic, listen, let me tell you what you're going to get. No, just teasing.
We're going to be crying again. If you want to see tears, watch
this. If you
want to
see Paolo Banchero run all over the court, watch tonight. Anyway, now let's move on. We have so much stuff to get to. Sports Talk on WQAM is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Zach Gelb today, we're going to talk football with him. Jim Larrañaga today, we'll talk basketball with him. And we will get you ready for the Heat season in our own special way. Real quick look at the headlines brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com.
Ton of NBA.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
NBA games tonight. Pretty much everybody in the league will play tonight. You've got some primetime games on ESPN. Obviously, the Miami Heat open up on the road. They're at the Orlando Magic. That's a 7 p.m. game. No Hero, no Jakučonis. And Kluwer still questionable. He did participate in shoot-around today. Which,
did we know he was dinged up, or is this something new?
Yeah, I brought it up in the 5 o'clock hour headlines yesterday that he was dealing with neck spasms on Monday, which kept them out of practice Monday. Yesterday, at the end of practice, you know, maybe Spo lighten up these practices a little bit before the season starts, but he twisted or rolled his ankle or hurt his ankle in practice yesterday, so that's when he was deemed questionable for today's game.
There is some breaking news regarding the Heat. I don't know if you saw this, just broke. They have reached a settlement with Jimmy Butler over all the fines that he accrued last season.
Oh.
You know, they were fining him without pay for a zillion games. According to Ira Winderman in the Sun Sentinel, the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler's representation have come to an agreement on the roughly $6 million in fines and withheld salary assessed last season, with a compromise reached at half that amount. So $3 million, essentially, Jimmy Butler cost himself and the entire Heat season.
I'm a suing. Cost me more than that in mental distress.
He looked good yesterday, man. There's no denying that. We'll see how long it lasts, but he looked very, very good.
He was engaged and good.
I don't have that player leaves my team, I'm mad at him thing, other than any athlete other than Jimmy Butler that I've ever cheered for a team with.
Well, because it's the way that he left. I mean, I feel that way. I think about certain people, but yeah, Jimmy.
Yeah, Wade leaves to Chicago, LeBron. Like, I didn't care. Okay, it's part of the game. But Jimmy, just his butt wipeness got to me.
Well, when he came back for that game with Golden State and he didn't acknowledge his former teammates, who were his teammates weeks prior, like, what are you doing? Come on, get over yourself. We all bought your coffee. Like, what are you doing? Bam, spent $30,000 on coffee. I can't acknowledge him?
Got to reach a settlement on that, too.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Give me half my coffee money back, jackass.
Well, I couldn't shoot. He had the jitters.
$43 for a latte, and all of a sudden he's standing on ceremony.
I think Crowder figured it out. Bam's had caffeine jitters since Jimmy Butler's been here. He lost his shot.
Can't shoot with your hands shaking. Hey, give me the ball. Give me the ball. Can I have the ball? Give me the ball. Here we go. Give me the ball. Give me the ball.
There's a ton of Dolphins notes. We can't get to all of them right now because we are pressed for time. But Darren Waller, we bid you adieu for at least 4 weeks.
I'm so over this team and this season because why can't someone just get dinged up and then be back the following week? Why does the best player for, like, he teased you for 2 weeks, put him on IR? It's just this franchise is snake bit, man.
Just put it in your mental bank. The next time we drag a player out of retirement who's in his 30s, there's no chance he's playing 17 games.
Ticket Wizard sent me some text when that happened. Like, Stephen Ross should ban Chris Greer and the Dolphins from signing anyone over 28 years old.
Well, Calais Campbell balled. He was 49.
That's true.
So the Dolphins, they have elevated. And I apologize if I botched this. Listen, this guy's a practice squad player, so I didn't really familiarize myself with pronunciation here. But Greg Dulcich, tight end, elevated from the practice squad. And we welcome back Chris Mearick, who is responsible for one of the greatest preseason plays in Miami Dolphins history. If you remember preseason finale, I remember because I was there, 2021 in Cincinnati. Sinnott to win it, Reed Sinnott, Hail Mary at the very end of the game. And it was Chris Mearick who came down with the catch in the end zone. He is now signed to the practice squad.
He was available week 8 of the NFL season.
Well, he's not even on the roster. He's on our practice squad. This was a whole story about a guy who just got to the practice squad.
Let's start talking about the practice squad more because the regular roster is not impressive.
Well, don't worry because I'm guessing Dulcich or Dulcich or however you pronounce his name won't be playing very much, and it will be Chris Mearick off waivers, elevated, starting, or at the very least, taking snaps. That's just the way this team does it.
All right.
All right, guys. Your weather from South Florida right now, it is partly cloudy. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the mid to upper 70s. That's brought to you by ChillZone AC, featuring reliable Rude AC systems. Make your AC great again. Visit ChillZoneAC.com.
I see today, on this day in 1973, Dolly Parton released the song Jolene. So hopefully you'll play Jolene at some point today, Jimmy. And if you all are lucky, I'll do my Dolly Parton impersonation at some point before 6 o'clock. Zach Gelb is going to join us in the next segment, so do not go anywhere.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Khalil?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Zach Gelb is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Before we talk football, I always remind you the best place to get geared up with Canes or Dolphins merch this season is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Zach Gelb hosts afternoons nationally on the Infinity Sports Network, and he joins us from the WFAN studios in New York City. Is it getting cold in New York City? Because I see you're wearing a little puffer jacket.
No, it's just a little fashion, you know. I'm wearing a little bomber today. You know, I'm feeling good. I'm looking good. I'm trying to be like the Walmart version of Solana, honestly.
All right. So it's a look. It's a look. He's rocking a look. And where are you, Crowder? You're in Houston?
Houston, yes, yeah, sir.
How's the weather in Houston?
Beautiful, actually. It's really nice.
Look at that.
Channing would probably call this the preppy white guy look. Even though I'm not a preppy guy, I'm a white guy, but that's what I think Channing would call
it. You're not a preppy white guy, huh? You are a preppy white guy.
I've seen that look at University of Florida before, yes.
That's Finance Bro 101 right there.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I look like Mike McDaniel right now. Maybe I got capris on and you guys don't even know. Show a little ankle. So got a little ankle out there.
Let me start there. Are you shocked that as we sit here today on October 22nd, that Mike McDaniel is still the head coach of the Miami Dolphins? And let me take it one step further. Are you shocked that Tua Tagovailoa is the starting quarterback on Sunday in Atlanta?
I think the coach knows if he benches Tua, he's then definitely going to get fired because of the investment that they made in Tua. But, yeah, I'm stunned that Mike – I thought for sure Monday morning we were getting the notification, McDaniel out, maybe even Chris Greer out too because he needs to go as well. But, you know, what does it mean firing the GM in the middle of the season? I guess I'm not shocked. I'm just disappointed, and my question would be why? Like, Stephen Ross, are you asleep? Stephen Ross, do you not care? Stephen Ross, are you cheap? Stephen Ross, have you just accepted that you'll just wait to the end of the season? I would love to just ask Stephen Ross one question today, and it would just be, why?
What does it benefit to fire him, though? I'm asking you, you know, I'm saying, like, if you fire him, there's nobody in that organization that's turning that team around.
It doesn't,
I think
it,
he's just waiting to the end of the season, let McDaniel – you know, sink with his boat, and then now it's terrible, and now I can move on.
Could you get an interim coach boost, which long-term doesn't help the franchise because you'd rather have the most losses at this rate? Sure. But there's a difference in being bad and embarrassing. This is now embarrassing. The Dolphins, even if they make a change, they're still going to be bad, but it's just to stop the clown show, stop the bleeding, stop the national disgrace that the Miami Dolphins are right now. Because this coach at the podium is a fool, and the quarterback at the podium, you know, I thought Cam, I didn't love when Cam said it, but he's right. Like, Cam, when he talked about Tua being aggressive at the podium and Tua really being boisterous at the podium, it has been a disaster for Tua Tagovailoa at the podium. You're lucky the Jets are in the division too, because Aaron Glenn, that's another guy. He gets in front of the podium. Holy smokes, like, shut up, dude.
We're 2 weeks away, a little less than 2 weeks away from the NFL trade deadline. Now the conversation down here is, what do you do with all these assets? Or quote-unquote assets. My question, Gelb, is, do the Dolphins actually have attractive pieces from a national perspective? Because Devon Achane is probably, it's Achane or bust down here right now with the offense, but I just don't see them trading him right now. I think Jalen Waddle is also somebody who people think highly of. I don't see them trading him either. It's really the front seven guys, Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, who we all thought, at the very least, those are the guys that you could trust to have a good season, and they have not produced. So I wonder, even if the Dolphins were saying, hey, let's kind of start stockpiling some picks, do people around the league really look at any of these guys on the Dolphins and say, yeah, they can help us win now?
I think Channing would know this, that there's a lot of arrogant offensive and defensive coordinators out there and head coaches that go, oh, I could make Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb good again It's just the Dolphins situation. So those are the two attractive names on defense. And then offense, you hit the nail right in the head. It's Devon Achane and Jaylen Waddle, who are two good young pieces. And the question just is, if you're the Dolphins, do you want to part ways with those pieces? And is the return going to be significant enough for you to ultimately say, yeah, you know what, we'll say goodbye to a youngster in Jaylen Waddle, who's next year probably your number one wide receiver if he does stay, because I don't think, regardless of what Tyreek is trying to sell everybody, I would be shocked if Tyreek is on the roster to start next season.
Well, let me ask you this question. We were having this conversation yesterday, and it kind of just came organically, but you can play the hindsight game and say they shouldn't have given Tua a big contract when they did, because they still had him under contract for another season, and then they could have franchised him for two seasons beyond that. Okay, and you had said that when that originally went down. But let me just ask you, because they made a business decision that he was going to be their quarterback for a long time, that he was good enough after the 2023 season to warrant a giant investment, and plenty of players get contracts before they need a contract, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to get into the situation. They lost Christian Wilkins because they waited too long with that. So do you think if Tua was an unrestricted free agent, the year after 2023 that they give him the big contract, if he was an unrestricted free agent, wouldn't he have gotten that contract somewhere else from some other team? Wasn't he respected enough around the league to warrant that type of giant contract?
He would have got a contract because there's more teams that don't have quarterbacks that do have quarterbacks, and then people would overspend. If you're saying, okay, if when they gave him the contract, even though, like you said, he had another year left on the deal, if he was a free agent, then yeah, someone would have given him a contract. But that's not the situation. The situation the Dolphins had is they could have waited. And for a quarterback that also has an injury history, it even makes more sense to wait. And the Dolphins didn't elect to do that. But, you know, it's at this point, if you're a Dolphins fan, what reason do you have to tune into this team? And like, that's why this owner, how he has not fired the GM or the head coach, the quarterback, the damage is done. You already paid him. You got to figure out how to get out of it and just deal with it. But how this coach and this GM are still here, I keep on going back to it. And I keep on using the same lame line that I've been using for a year. They got to got pictures. They got to have pictures of Stephen Ross with like a shriveled up Schmeckel or something like that. That's all I could give you. That's all I got at this point.
And Gelby, to that point, you get rid of the head coach and the GM. Is Tua connected to that? And if he's not, you know the report. They owe him $54 plus million next year. Could the Dolphins do something like the Broncos did with Russ when they gave him that big money? I think it was four for 250, and they end up figuring out a way to split the money with another team. Would that be the approach if they do clean shop?
I think it's a lame duck spot next season where you like remember Sean Payton inherited Russell Wilson for a year and already knew that he was done with him, and then waited until the year after to just say, okay, we're going to get rid of Russell Wilson. So I think a new coach that comes in, assuming that it is with the new GM, they're going to say the first year is a wash, the second year improve, third year go contend for a playoff spot. So I'm going to sit back and say that probably Tua is on the team next year, and they wait then a year after that for the dead cap. I don't have the contract in front of me, but the dead cap in theory to just go down a little bit, and then you figure a way how to crunch the numbers.
Hey, Jimmy, for the podcast, do you know how to spell shriveled up Schmeckle?
No, I do not.
All right, I'll get back to you on that. I'll text you on that. Did you watch opening night in the NBA last night, Gelby?
Not really. I understand the NBC presentation.
You're not into the NBA before Christmas, right? Do I recall that from previous years with you?
I will be into the Knicks tonight. I just had a lot going on yesterday that we will not get into. So I was not as attentive maybe to the sports world yesterday once I got off the air and walked out of my place.
Let me ask you this, because I'm just curious from a national perspective. What do you know about the Miami Heat heading into the season? They open tonight. They're in Orlando. And I feel like your answer might play into my thought that on paper they're a pretty uninteresting team.
Yeah.
What do you know about the Miami Heat? If I said to you, because I didn't give you prep on this, if I said to you, give me three things you're excited to watch for the Miami Heat this season, would you have any?
There's not really much excitement, if I'm just being transparent. I will say I will thoroughly enjoy maybe Paolo Banchero smacking Solana in the mouth after hearing his name pronounced correctly all throughout this evening. But I think we're back in the line of looking at with the Heat, where their coach is obviously their greatest asset in Eric Spoelstra. So the question just becomes, can you get a gritty version of this Miami Heat team where now you have this play-in tournament stuff, so there's more access to the playoffs, where you look at the Dolphins, like, they're not watchable right now. Can the Heat just later on in the season be watchable, where you get to a point where you say, okay, you know, maybe they could go contend for one of those play-in tournament spots?
Should I try to sell him on the Heat?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know what? I will not bash Solana for trying to sell me on the Miami Heat.
I do think there are some things to be excited about. I'm not even joking. Now, their over-under on the Hard Rock app for season wins is 37.5.
Like, I was going to guess 33.5.
Yeah, I mean, so no one's expecting anything great, but I do think there are some bright spots. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Eastern Conference right now, Gub. Obviously, the Knicks are one of the favorites. The Cleveland Cavaliers, but until they do something in the playoffs, I mean, can you really trust them? I'm not saying the Heat are going to go win the East, but Norman Powell comes over from LA, led the team in scoring last year on a playoff team, a good competitive team out West. They get him for nothing, and you're hoping that since Jimmy Butler left, all that's behind them. They have a much better season this year. Hero comes back. You pair him with Norman Powell. They should have a better offense. And that Bam and Khalil Ware pairing, I get it. Nationally, it's not that enticing, but there's something there between those two. They're both very talented. This could end up being, with Eric Spoelstra as the head coach, one of those gritty Heat teams nobody would want to see in the first round of the playoffs.
So, like, you think they could get to 40 wins is what you're saying?
Yeah, 60, 50, 40.
Play Peppas! Play Peppas! 2 minutes, dos minutos! I'm in, sure. Well, you said 38.5, 37.5?
37.5.
I'll bet some of Channing's money on the over on that.
You get excited about them Knicks. I told you last year, Gelb, at some point, that damn Carl Anthony Towns is going to let y'all down. I'm telling you what's about to happen. I'm calling it preseason.
Yeah. And at some point, DJ Lagway won't be able to complete the ball, and Florida won't get Lane Kiffin.
Hey, yeah. Man.
Can we just, since we're roasting everyone today, Hawk loves getting on the bandwagon, and I know he loves his Miami Hurricanes. Oy, what happened there up against Louisville?
Listen, we knew a stinker was going to be coming this season. We've seen the movie. I didn't think it was going to happen in primetime on Friday night. Shocked me. I think they were shell-shocked. Mario Cristobal, when they went down 2 touchdowns, like, Mario Cristobal looked like he was shell-shocked, and they never were able to recover. Maybe our thoughts that the Miami Hurricanes were by far the best football team in college football were a little misplaced. What are they, 9 now? I think they'll end in the top 5. I think they'll get it right now. But, yeah, Friday night was not fun by any stretch.
It did good for the views because I had David Pollack on Thursday, and he said Miami's the best team. And on TikTok, the moment when they lost, it was just views galore of all these Ohio State fans jumping on in, just trashing Miami. And I like the Hurricanes.
Everyone
right?
Was saying it. Gino Toretta said they're the best team in college football. John Michaels said they're the best team in college football.
They had the best resume, though, to be fair.
They had a better resume than Ohio
State. John
Michaels
says they're the best team in college football each and every year.
He is very willing to call them out. No, he is very willing to call them out. Yeah. When they're not good, or when they're winning, but you kind of know that they're fraudulent. And I don't think anyone thought that this season.
Ohio State and Alabama to me are the two best teams I've seen. I'm really curious how we're talking about Indiana at the end of the season. And I like A&M. Like, A&M just keeps on winning. I know it's not pretty. Bell's a heck of a running back. Moss, and you got Marcel Reed and the two wide receivers that transferred over, and their defense is good under Elko. But I would like to see, it doesn't fit into the Miami narrative, I know, but I want to see the best from the Big Ten this year up against the best from the SEC in the national championship.
Oh, stop it. But did you lose faith? Did you lose faith in the Hurricanes because of Friday night? Because I really believe they were the best team in college football up until that game.
So I thought they were good. I thought they obviously could win the ACC. I did take Louisville plus the 13.5, but I thought Miami was going to win the game. I just thought it was too many points, and Jeff Brohm's a heck of a coach, as we know. I think they still are one of those 3 to 4 teams that go win the ACC. I don't think it's a lock they win the ACC. They got so much talent. I like Haynes King at Georgia Tech. But if you're asking me, do I think that they are going to win 2 playoff games this year? I would say no. I think their apex is winning 1 playoff game this season.
Wow. That to me is a little bit shocking, only because we've been kind of waiting for the season. And if last season with Cam Ward wasn't the season, and now you've got Carson Beck and Reuben Bain playing out of his mind on defense, if this isn't the season, then when's the season?
All righty, I got to ask Channing, though, a question. Just wondering, inquiring mind about the Florida job, and let's try to make Channing some clickbait right here. Lane Kiffin, I don't think it's happening in the Swamp. If it's not Lane Kiffin, then who for Florida?
I don't know, man. I saw Rhett Lashley's name pop up.
At SMU.
I don't want another.
And the U. He was UM's offensive coordinator.
I don't want another, guy that maybe he can do it. I want an established head coach. That's why I love Lane. I don't want Gruden. I don't think Gruden's going to be good in college. But if we're going to go get another, the next up and coming, I hope it's an offensive guy.
I think it's one of two names. If it's not Lane, right? They want Lane. That's been clear.
I don't think Lane is leaving Trinidad. I don't think he's leaving that quarterback at Ole Miss unless he can bring him with him.
I don't think Lane is leaving Ole Miss. And I think he would leave if LSU was open, which maybe with the Tiger family, with Brian Kelly, it could be open. But I will say Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri, or I will say James Franklin, the former Penn State coach, obviously be the next coach of the Gators.
I like Franklin.
Yeah.
Well, and for Florida, here's the thing. Franklin does not win a national championship. But Florida right now would take 9-10 win seasons and just getting the program back to stability.
Look at what Zach Gelb did here at the end of the show. Zach Gelb took a show on opening night for the Miami Heat where there is a disaster going on in Miami Gardens with the Dolphins. You got Brad Marchand back in Boston last night. Great victory for the Panthers. And he turned the show into who's the next head coach in Gainesville. How dare you, Gelb? Hit the bricks. We appreciate the time. Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network. The jacket does look good on you, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Once again, I'm just trying to be a Walmart version of Solana. Next week, I'll have those disgusting handlebars.
Text Jimmy how to spell Schmeckle, okay?
Yeah, I will. Just look up Solana. It'll come up in the dictionary.
You'll be having you having trouble sleeping. Go watch Michael Jordan on NBC. You'll get great rest.
No, you'll get chills. You won't be able to sleep. Did you watch him last night, Gelb?
I saw the clips. There were some interesting things.
He's amazing.
Definitely on social media.
He's amazing. Love you, Gelby. Yeah,
you got it, guys. Be well.
There you go. Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network. We got more talking about the Heat to come. No more talking about the Florida Gators head coaching position. That was Gelb taking over the show in a direction that I was uninterested in. So don't go anywhere. Crowder was interested in it, but I wasn't.
I didn't know the names he brought up. What are we doing?
Well, James
man?
Franklin, you know. Actually, he'd be a good hire,
know.
I
James
think.
Franklin yeah. was the one that came up. I don't want no damn Rhett Lashley.
You remember that offense, though? It's fun, man.
I know. I just think we need some more edge. Rhett wasn't very edgy. We need a butt wipe.
All right.
Franklin's a butt wipe. That's why I like it. Lane's a butt wipe.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I would love to have a cup of coffee and a piece of pie with Mike McDaniel at Denny's.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.